There's more that rises in the morning than the sun. More that shines in the night than just the moon. It's more than just the fire here that keeps me warm in a shelter that is larger than this room. There's loyalty that's deeper than mere sentiments, and the music higher than the songs I sing. The stuff of earth competes for the allegiance I owe only to the giver of all good things. So if I stand, let me stand on the promise that you will pull me through. If I can't, let me fall on the grace that first brought me to you. If I sing, let me sing for the joy that born in me these songs. If I weep, let it be as a man who is longing for his home. There's more that dances on the prairies than the wind, more that pulses in the ocean than the tide. There's love that is fiercer than the love between friends, more gentle than a mother by her baby's side. There's loyalty that's deeper than mere sentiments, music higher than the songs that I can sing. The stuff of earth competes for the allegiance I owe only to the giver of all good things. If I stand, let me stand on the promise you will pull me through. If I can, let me fall on the grace that first brought me to you. If I sing, let me sing. If I weep, let it be as a man who is longing for his home.
I have enjoyed this this Route 66 series. I don't know if I rank my favorite sermon series. This would be near the top, though. It's been fun. 9 Sundays, beginning the first Sunday of January. There were 5 in January, 4 in February. Chapter 6, verse 6, random Bibles, random Bible books, and it has it's been good for us. And we close today with probably the most important one, but need a little review. So if you haven't been here, here's what we've been covering for the past 2 months. We started with Matthew 6, 6. Remember saying prayer closet prayers? Nod at me if that seems like you remembered some of that, all right? The next week, we went with playing hurt. I still got that outline in my head. If you stay in the game, you're going to get hurt. If you stay in the game, you're going to get help. And if you stay in the game, you're going to get home. That was that week. The third week, we went Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, as we talked about the sanctity of life and how valuable life is. We followed that up with probably one of the most difficult chapter 6, verse 6 verses, where it says God regretted that he had made man. And we discussed how can God regret anything he's done. Follow that up with 1 Timothy 6:6, and we learned the contentment commandments. How many of you remember the contentment commandments? Let me see hands. I'm not asking you to say them. How many of you remember us preaching about them? There we are. All right. Then we went with Exodus 6:6, the first of this month. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed. And you sound so excited about it, too. Then we went to Proverbs 6:6, where the proverb writer said, be like the ant, you lazy bones. And you may not remember the sermon, but you remember Charlie laying back in the lazy boy chair with an empty pizza box on his belly. Remember that? And then last week, we talked about Jesus testing Philip, asking the disciples, where are we going to get enough food for these people, even though he already knew what he was going to do, because Jesus asked trick questions. And then today, Route 66 normally ends in Santa Monica, California. Ours ends in the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse 6. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. That raised a question for me that I want to examine in our time together this morning. Here's the question. Do you know about God, or do you really know God? I want you to answer that question for yourself when we're finished this morning. Do you know about God, or do you really know God? Every church has their own way of handling things. Weather policies, how to handle the COVID situation the last year. Churches are different. We differ on doctrine, obviously. Sometimes we differ on philosophy and how to handle even simple things. The Presbyterian Church called a meeting to decide what to do with their squirrel infestation. The squirrels were taken over. Well, they prayed about it, and after some prayer and consideration, they concluded that the squirrels were predestined to be there and that they shouldn't interfere with the will of God. At the Baptist church, the squirrels had taken an interest in their baptistry, and the deacons met and decided to put a water slide on the baptistry so the squirrels would slide down the slide and drown themselves. Sound like a good idea, but the squirrels liked the slide and knew how to swim. And they started inviting all their squirrel friends, so the problem got worse. The Lutheran church decided that they were not in a position to harm God's creatures, so they humanely trapped their squirrels and released them near the Baptist church. 2 weeks later, the squirrels were back because the Baptist took down the water slide. The Catholic church was creative. They made every squirrel a new member, and now they only have to deal with them on Christmas and Easter. But there wasn't much heard from the Jewish synagogue, though. They circumcised the first squirrel and haven't seen any since. In almost every church, regardless of their denomination, if you pay attention to what is said, you will at the very least learn something about God. I had a big debate with a Catholic buddy of mine just this past week. And I'm sure he feels like I do. Sometimes arguing with him is like trying to blow out a light bulb. I'm wasting my time. But one thing we all have in common is our desire to know God better. And even in the church I grew up in, I mean, I was a Bible Bowl kid. Bible Bowl was competition with other churches, and I would memorize it, and I'd buzz in, and I'd dominate the contest and say every answer. And all that knowledge about God, I could tell you book, chapter, and verse for most subjects, even as a kid, but it dawned on me in my teen years, you know what, while I know all there is, well, I shouldn't say it that way, while I know a whole lot about God, I don't really know God that well. And after taking the time to form the relationship and getting to know him better, I can tell you this, church, getting to know God is way better than just getting to know about God. This Route 66 passage tells us that God wants us to know him. Let's look at it one more time, and then we'll jump in here. Hosea 6:6, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. He paints this clear picture that us showing up at church and warming a chair and dropping our envelope in the collection box and singing a few songs and saying a few prayers, that's not enough. And he takes it even further and says, listen, if you're not going to take the time to get to know me, I'd rather you not even do all that other stuff. So how serious are you about getting to know God? Here's a couple of verses to help us get started too. This is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Jeremiah 9:23, we talked about Jeremiah this morning in Sunday school class. Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, let not a strong man boast of his strength, nor a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. It's 1923, seven of the world's most wealthy tycoons gathered in the Edgewater Beach Hotel in Chicago, Illinois. Check this out. These tycoons possessed more money than was in the United States Treasury at the time. For years, newspapers printed their stories and told our young people, this is who you need to be like. This is an example of success. 27 years after that meeting in Chicago, someone in the press tracked these seven men down to see how their stories ended. Here they are. Charles Schwab, president of the largest independent steel company in the world at the time, lived on borrowed money the last 5 years of his life and died without a penny to his name. Arthur Cutting, the world's greatest wheat speculator, died away from his home, completely broke. Richard Whitney, the president of the New York Stock Exchange, was released from prison so that he could die at home. Albert Fall, member of the president's cabinet, was pardoned from prison so that he could die at home. Jesse Livermore, the greatest bear on Wall Street. Doesn't he look like the greatest bear on Wall Street? He committed suicide. Leon Frazier, the president of the Bank of International Settlement, committed suicide. That left number 7, Ivan Kruger, the head of the world's largest monopoly at the time, committed suicide. All 7. Aristotle said, never say a man lived a great life till you know how he died. All the wisdom and strength and money won't bring any satisfaction at the end without understanding and knowing the living God. There's a divine spark in you that can only be satisfied by the presence of God. There's this God-shaped vacuum that whatever else you stick in there, it will not fill that space, and you'll find no real purpose for your life until you put God where he belongs. I can preach to you with all my heart this morning this truth, which applies to everyone in this room, and I would like to have an amen. You're not living until you know the Lord. Amen. So let's talk about what it means to know someone. I decided to go basic with this. Like, if I know someone, these are the things that I would know about them, and then apply that to God. So I'll start with this. If I know you well, I know your name. Let's start there, right? If I know you well, I wouldn't be able to convince you that I know this person over here really well. Man, I know them really well. And then you say, hey, what's their name? Well, I don't know. If you know someone really well, at the very least, you know their name. I used to be able to memorize everybody's name. I was pretty doggone good at it. And then when I wasn't able to remember their name, I was good at acting like I knew who they were. Hey, good to see you. Oh, man, it's been a while. You know, stuff like that. I was at Skyline Chili in Bright after a service one Sunday and eating with Sam Shike. He was one of my deacons. And him and his wife and another couple were bragging about how I can remember everybody's names, which wasn't true. So we're going up to pay, and there's a new couple at the register that were in church that morning and told me their names. And I told Sam, you know what? This proves that you're wrong, because that new couple just told me who they were about an hour ago, and I have no idea what their names are. And doggone him, they turn after they pay to come our way, and Sam says, hey, Mark, could you introduce me to this new couple right here? We didn't allow him to be a deacon very much longer after that. When I was a youth minister, and I was, Derek, way back in the day, I would try to memorize people based on some, I don't know, some story or like if they were a character in Batman. We had an Alfred once, and I remembered that Alfred was Batman's butler, and that's how I remembered to call him Alfred. We had a new couple visit the church, and I was doing those name plays in my head, and I said goodbye to them, and after the service, they're walking out, and I said, hey, now be careful going up that hill. And they smiled at me, and they walked out. One of my buddies standing nearby said, what was that all about? I said, well, you know, Jack and Jill went up a hill. He said, yeah, as he pointed toward the couple and said, what does that have to do with Dick and Jane? Now, I know this is pretty basic, but I'd have trouble telling you, hey, I know so-and-so. I know how he thinks. I know what he says. I talk with him all the time. He's my best and most important friend. But, oh, by the way, I don't know his name. So how well do you know God? Do you know his names? And he's got a bunch of them. Do you know 3 of his names? And he's got a bunch of them. I promise you there will not be a test. I used to have these memorized. I will now read from my list. Elohim, the God who created you. El Elyon, the God who is in charge. Adonai, the God who wants a relationship with us. El Shaddai, the God who has the power to help us. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides for us. Jehovah Shammah, the God who will always be there for us. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Jehovah Mekadishkim, the God who makes us holy. Jehovah Ra'ah, the God who is our shepherd. El Roi, the God who is there when you feel used or abused. Aviad, the God who is eternal. Sar Shalom, the God who is peace. Emmanuel, the God who is with us. Yeshua, the God who saves us. Now listen, I don't believe it's important that you can spout off all these Hebraic names. I do not. But it is important, if you want to know God, that you know what all of these names mean. Because if you know God, then you know he's the one who created you. And you know he's the one in charge. And you know he's the one who can help you when you're used or abused. And you know he's the one who provides for you and he heals. You know he's the one who's eternal. You know he's the one who is with us and the one who saves us. What's in a name? Well, if you're talking about the name of God, everything is in a name. There is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved, and there is salvation in no one else. When you come to know God, you will know there is salvation in his name. When you come to know God, you will know there is power in his name. When you come to know God, you will know there is glory in his name. I know God. I know God this morning because I know his name. Number two. You know someone well, you'll know whether or not you can trust them. Right? You find out who you can trust and who you can't, don't you? You can be fooled. I'll tell you who fools us all the time. We trust our feelings. We should never trust our feelings. I don't care if you've been right on occasion. Your feelings will mislead you and take you down the wrong path almost every time. Our culture has made it an art form, following your feelings above facts. That's a recipe for disaster. I can't trust my feelings at all. If I'd have trusted my feelings this morning, Jimmy Johnson would be preaching to you right now because I felt like staying at home. Can't trust your feelings? Yeah, I made a list of things I trust more than my feelings. Can I share it with you? More than my feelings, I trust Mexican tap water. More than my feelings, I trust a rattlesnake with a pet me sign on it. I trust a Brian Williams news report more than I trust my feelings. Bigfoot sightings in Olytic. I trust that more than I trust my feelings. Prayers for peace from Al Sharpton. I trust those more than I trust my feelings. Gas station hot dogs. I trust them more than I trust my feelings. And believe it or not, I trust cats more than I trust my feelings. The poet said, feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God, not else is worth believing. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things will pass away, God's word will last forever. I trust fact. I trust the word of God. And I trust the God who gave us his word. Proverbs 29:25, fear of man will prove to be a trap, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Isaiah 12:2, surely God is my salvation. I will trust him and not be afraid. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart will trust in him. This is the year that I will turn 60. Now, I know most of you who didn't know my age were thinking 45-ish, something. 50-ish, 65-ish, shut up. I was born in 1961, so I was a teenager in the 70s, and I decided to compare some decades and see how things have changed, but I went way back before that, too. Let's start with the year 1904. Anybody remember that? That would be impressive. The year is 1904. Average life expectancy in the United States is 47 years old. Only 14% of the homes in the United States had a bathtub. Sugar cost 4 cents a pound. Eggs were 14 cents a dozen. The population of Las Vegas, Nevada in 1904 was 20 people. Most women only washed their hair once a month and used egg yolks for shampoo. So here we are, 117 years have gone by since then. So let me do it this way. When I was a teenager in the 70s, I want to do some comparisons between that and now. In 1975, it was long hair. In 2021, it's longing for hair. See what the years will do to you. In 1975, it was acid rock. 2021, it's acid reflux. 1975, it was the Rolling Stones. 2021, it's kidney stones. 1975, it was passing a driver's test. 2021 is passing a vision test. 1975, it was whatever. 2021, it depends. Now, I'm almost 60, so I decided to split that in half. So if you're 30, we got some 30-year-olds here this morning. If you're 30, you've always had popcorn in the microwave. You've always had an answering machine. The CD was introduced the year you were born. You never took a swim and thought about Jaws. You don't know who Mark was or where he was from. You never heard the phrases, where's the beef, or deplane. And you don't care who shot JR because you have no idea who JR is. It's amazing. Time comes through full circle, though, doesn't it? I saw this picture that makes that point. The pace at which things change is mind-blowing. And yet, here we are. Now listen to me. Here we are participating in the same mission the Apostle Paul was involved with. Here we are pointing people to the same Jesus that John the Baptist pointed them to. Here we are giving tithes and offerings the same way that the Hebrew people gave them in the Old Testament. Here we are worshiping the same God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob worshiped. Here we are preaching the same message from the same Bible given by the same God, a message that has been preached since Jesus defied gravity and ascended back to God, a message that will not be changed by the culture we live in, but a message that can change the culture in which we live, a message that can be trusted because it came from God. I know his name, and I know he can be trusted. Let me close with this one. If I know you well, I'll know why you do the things you do. See, I may not understand it, and I may think to myself, I'd have done it different, but I'll know where it comes from if I know you well. I'll know that you meant well for me if I know you well, or I'll know that you didn't. You see, I may not understand everything that God does. I don't. I've been let down more than once, but I always back away knowing Gotta be a reason, and gotta be for my best. I always know that. If I know someone well, I know how they're gonna respond. My daughter, we'll take Buzz. She lost her husband in November, and if you would have asked me, how will she deal with this when it happens, or even before he got cancer, if you would have said, Mark, let's say your son-in-law gets cancer and he dies, how will your daughter handle? She's handled it exactly the way I knew she would. I'm not surprised. Everybody else is. I mean, she has moved on, moved forward, put things in their proper place, and is doing exactly what she needs to do. And I am not surprised one bit because I know her. I know her. I was with my granddaughter yesterday, just me and her, Poppy and Navy time. We had about 5 hours, just me and her. We ended up at Skyline Chili. We ended up at UDF for some ice cream. We bought a $50 doll at Walmart. I've kind of been moping about that ever since I made that purchase. But anyway, I'm pushing her on the swings. And she was talking about her dad a lot yesterday. That's really the first time I've heard her say too much, but I'm pushing her, and she's, higher, Poppy, higher. And I'm pushing her, getting her pretty high to where I think, if she lets go, man, we're in trouble. So so I push her, and then she says, just a little higher, Poppy, because if you push me high enough, I'll be able to see my daddy. I'm not surprised the way they have responded to that. If there's someone on the side of the road with their hood up and I'm riding with Charlie, I know already we're going to stop and see if they need help. Charlie's going to fix their car. Even if that car wasn't there with its hood up, when we turned on our road, I would think, you know, if we see a car with its hood up, Charlie's going to stop. If a new person walks in here and Jimmy Johnson's anywhere near them, I already know. There's going to be a conversation, and that person's going to have a new friend before they leave this church building. Because I know Jimmy. I know if the Indiana Pacers are playing tonight, then Priscilla Stevens has plans to camp herself in front of her fireplace and watch a ball game. I know that because I know Priscilla. I know that if I have to follow Jamie Strunk down the highway, I better be prepared to break every law known to man. When you really know someone, you know what they will do, and you know why they do it. Now, I am aware, and some of you would probably want to throw this verse at me right now, and I understand it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. But the better you get to know God, becomes an obvious truth. We actually know why God does what he does. His motivation for sending Jesus. If you know God, you know why he did it. Just pure love, grace, mercy. When knowing God is your top priority, all of life's decisions are easier to make. I'll go even further than that. I'll skate out on thin ice right before I close. That's always good. For some of us who really know God, a lot of those decisions are already made. When you know the Lord, life is less complicated. Because there's some decisions you just can't make if you know the Lord. When you know God, some of those decisions become more clear. Who should I marry? Becomes more clear if you know God. Now, I'm not saying that God will give you the name. He won't. Or tell you who the person is specifically. He won't. But he'll give you some guidelines. He'll help you decide who you should and who you shouldn't marry. If I know God, where should I attend church? Becomes an easier question to answer. If I know God, how should I raise my children? Should already be answered by you. Who should I vote for on election day? Becomes a whole lot easier if I know God. What should I do about a benevolent need? How should I handle someone who's done me wrong? If you know God well, then you know what he would do in specific situations. And you will know what he expects from you in those situations. What does he like? What does he dislike? What makes him happy? What makes him sad? Some of us are slow learners. I am. I need something to be demonstrated to me over and over before it sometimes sinks in. My papaw, I got that from him. One of our family stories that's a true story. My papaw was at a blacksmith shop, and the blacksmith had just forged this new horseshoe that was still glowing red hot. And my papaw went to pick it up. He could see it was glowing. And the blacksmith was like, Alec, you don't want to do that. I'll burn your hand. Ah. Picks it up and immediately throws it back down. And the blacksmith said, was it hot? And my papaw said, no, it just doesn't take me long to look at a horseshoe. I began to realize at some point in my life that God actually wanted me to know him better. And it's really opened my eyes. Now, every time I open up God's letter to me, the Bible, I get that same look a kid gets on his first visit to the Pentecostal church. There it is right there. You ever had that look? See, that look says it's exciting and scary at the same time. Because the more I get to know God, the more I realize how ridiculously amazing it is that he, as well as he knows me, he still loves me. About 25 years ago, I got to know a couple from Australia who began attending our church some. They were part of another church, but they'd drop in every now and then. And they had that cool Australian accent. And that is a cool accent. And I called him immediately. His name was Joshua. I called him Crocodile Dundee because he reminded me of Mick Dundee. I'd even take Joshua to revivals with me in churches, and I'd introduce him as Crocodile Dundee. And then I'd let him say something in that Australian accent. I baptized him, and shortly after that, he got cancer. And in 1998, he lost his battle with cancer at Christ Hospital in Cincinnati. But his faith was awesome. It was obvious to me that Joshua knew God. I was in the hospital room before he died, and this hospital chaplain comes in and says, Josh, is there anything you need? And Josh quoted from the Crocodile Dundee movie. It's the coolest thing ever as he says to the chaplain, no thanks, my man. Me and God, we be mates. For 2 months, we have traveled down Route 66. And on this last stop on our trip, it might be the most important yet. Check out one more time what the Lord said in Route 66. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. Let me put my own spin on what that verse is telling us. If you think I want your acts of service and your offerings and your songs and your attendance at church more than I want your love, you don't know me very well.